Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. It's so nice to have you with us on this Monday evening, February the 16th on the West Coast, or if you are in the Eastern or Central time zones, you know it is now February the 17th, early morning hour. Well, we have a great show prepared for you this evening. And yet, we haven't prepared anything, per se. Tonight's guest is actually going to be on tomorrow night as well as tonight. And we're going to do two shows, which hopefully are going to give us the opportunity to discuss many things that we have actually been researching. My guest is an author, and he's very well established as an author. He's also an osteopath, and he is an expert on all types of natural healing modalities, and quite opinionated along those lines. We may talk about some of those things. We tried to last week, but we got into some of what we're going to be talking about tonight. It seems like the powers that be want us to talk about this stuff. They keep creating events that just cause us to look at what's going on in our country and around the world, and we've taken off the rose-colored glasses, and we've decided, as we have on past shows, to continue bringing forth new revelations about old events as well as some more recent events. Now, my guest has authored a book called Wrongly Blamed, which is gaining more popularity and a reputation for being one of the most authoritative books on 9/11 as well as the London bombings. And he has also written The Secret Scripture, The Magnificent Message. In fact, part two, I understand, is in the process of being published.
Yes, thanks, Don. Part two is done and in the warehouse now. So.
Oh, okay. Well, and if you're wondering who that voice is, it's not Seth, and it's definitely not Don or Doug Newsom. That is my guest, Dr. Qasem Khalil, or Dr. K, as we call him. Welcome, Dr. K.
Well, it's great to be here again. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's. I should have asked you beforehand, so I would have known that that piece of
somebody knows now. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, these spiritual warfare is what you coined, and spiritual struggle. Arabic word into English. I don't keep jihad in there.
Okay, Dr. K, got to interrupt you. From the moment you started talking, we went into like a total log jam of your signal, so I didn't get one word you said.
Oh, okay. Well, what I was saying was that, you know, in completing this monumental modern translation of the Quran, I made sure that I translated every Arabic word into English. So I didn't leave words like jihad in there, or maybe with the exception of the word Kaaba, which is sort of a definitive word for house of God. But I made it really easy for us to understand the meaning. In fact, I carry it around with me, and I can pop it open and find something spiritual that I can understand, being that I was born in this country aware of the greatness of Islam as a system, but not able to understand the common translations that well. So, mm-hmm. so this is a nice way to understand that content.
Yeah, and of course the media is not helping us at all, and for that matter, neither is the government. They're putting out a distorted view of what is actually in that book, as well as what's being taught around the world. You know, when they create a terror suspect, they have to attach it to religion to give it some emotion, to give it the fire, which creates.
You know, it's really fascinating because it's sort of like a godless entity that is knocking these people out, and they knock the people out in the Trade Center. They even attacked the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that on September the 10th, I know we're getting into our subject here, but this is very interesting. On September the 10th, 2001, the United States Army at that very site in the Pentagon published a report, 40-some pages, in the Washington Times, that the wild card that could strike American forces, right, the Pentagon, mm-hmm. attack them, kill them, is the Mossad. This is a godlessness. This isn't a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a regime. And then they said that they would tag it to Arabs or Muslims.
Yeah. Well, we see this going on in the financial community. We see it going on in the media. Of course, it's going on in the military-industrial complex. It's going on in the educational system. It's everywhere. It's permeated everything. So.
Well, you know, we just heard from a chap that's losing his home, and I got to thinking about how that, if you took the reptilian force or the, you know, the evil force, and you, if you cauterized that abscess, that sickness, that we could change the country in a couple years.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even overnight, you know.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah. Dr. K, you're not going to believe this. We already have a caller on, and since we get them so seldom here, would you like to take a call?
Sure. I know okay. You do a no-caller format, but that's fine.
Well, we do get callers occasionally. We got Rick from Arizona on
line two.
Rick, good evening. Welcome to Evident Footprints. You got a comment? Or a question for Dr. K?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, on the earlier show, you were talking about possibly no planes on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. What do you think about possibly no dead firemen either? Maybe a few.
No dead firemen. Well, you never know. The official story stinks, huh?
Let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
I see, for example, in New York, if on that day, if 360 firemen perished in those towers, nobody knows more about buildings being blown up than a fireman. If I know the buildings are blown up, then the firemen know the buildings are blown up, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then what is Larry Silverstein walking around New York for, still alive?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There is some evidence of some corruption in the firehouse. That's without doubt. And obviously there's that in the NYDP too. So
yeah,
we have heard nothing, huh?
I'm not saying nobody died, but I'm as far as 360 firemen in there perishing while they brought the buildings down and there was going to be no retaliation from the fire department?
Well, I can tell you this. There were a fair amount of them that died in the South Tower, and here's why. They were sure, see, on the lower level at least, the lower level chiefs and the lieutenants, they were sure those buildings were stable in that South Tower. So there were some individuals that were crushed to death there. The number, you're absolutely right about numbers. These numbers, none of them make any sense, and none of them have been proven. So it's a real problem because everything in the official material has been fabricated. People died. We don't have an exact number. It's ridiculous. What's conspicuous, though, is the silence of the police department, which is loaded with corruption. We don't have any. We don't see the police coming forward. The only exception was Detective John Carroll from Jersey City. He has come forward and stated categorically, very important, that the satellite photography, which we've been calling for that photography to be brought forward, demonstrates unexploded ordnance all over the city. There were bombs set to make World War III go off like a flash. Some of it didn't detonate. These were marked on a satellite photograph with red dots, and one of his colleagues was accidentally assumed to be Secret Service. They pulled him in the meeting. He got to see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not getting the truth. Now, John Carroll also reported that believe me, I said nothing but good about the firemen, but John Carroll reported that the firemen, some rogue group, crushed an ATM and stole $500,000 in U.S. Dollar bills. That this kind of thing was happening.
You know, Rick and Dr. K, I find the absence of police very, very suspicious on that morning. Now, on film, I saw one police officer shooing a bunch of people down the street saying, "Watch out, this building's going to fall."
Clear the street,
and sure enough, the building fell. Now, how did he know that? And then another...
Silverstein told him on his walkie-talkie.
Yeah, of course. But, if you just look at things the way they are presented to us, no one was to know that those buildings were going to fall.
And you have the FBI, two of them in goon suits, if they were real FBI, bringing witnesses to Leventhal, mm-hmm, and saying, "Here's another one. Here's another hot one."
Yeah. One was actually in the company of a police officer too. So we know that there were at least two police officers anywhere near the World Trade Center. But you had, I don't know, 30, 40, maybe 50 firemen standing in the lobby like they were waiting for somebody to bring the chuck wagon for lunch.
Yeah, on the Not Day film. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's very peculiar is Chief Pfeiffer absolutely insisting, at least in one published report, that he saw that plane and he heard that plane. And he didn't hear a plane, nor could he see one. There wasn't one. So it something stinks real bad. But at the same time, I must say, there were quite a few firemen that died in that South Tower because they didn't think it was going to come down.
Yeah. Well, we presume they were in the tower. What we have in this situation on 9/11 is evidence of nothing except maybe a computer graphic going into a tower. We have no proof of, there's no debris, there's no black box, there's nothing.
That's right. There's nothing that you, really everything is open for question, for potential fraud. That's very true.
Mm-hmm. If you take a slow video of what you saw on September 11th, the plane travels its same distance. It travels at the same speed and it's at the same length of the plane as it goes into the tower, which totally defies
Moore's law. No resistance, huh?
There's no resistance. The plane just goes into a cloud. That is video fakery.
Yeah, well, when you see the slow motion, Rick, slow motion version, half speed, quarter speed, you can see the building, as I mentioned on the show a couple hours ago, you can see the building self-repair. And that's because you're just watching two videos at the same time. One is blocking the image of the building, and then it's not blocking the image of the building.
We found that the passenger lists are phony and that a lot of those people have been confirmed alive, not as spies, not as regular people. That would make more sense.
Yes.
If they were regular people, this would have been blown out a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Olaf's research indicates that they're mostly spies. Yeah.
I don't think any planes were hijacked that morning.
Well, you're right on that.
Because
this thing you bring up about numbers, it's an odd number, 345. It would be interesting if someone could do some research to see what the real figure is of public servants that died that day.
Well, it's interesting that you say 345 because I had previously heard 234. So, but then again, we you know, they're into sequences and numbers. It really doesn't matter.
No.
I find is that there were a lot of firemen that got back to the firehouse that we saw in various videos that came out later on DVD, and they all had the same clip. Now, this is interesting because when people are producing these videos, they all seem to be able to get a hold of the same, let's say, stock of film, okay? The media had that film, and then the people that came out with DVDs had the same film, and they had film that made it look like they were there on the spot filming all of this with their own cameras, and I don't think that is the case.
Especially. I don't think so either. And, you know, don't forget that Father Judge has a suspicious death. He looked very concerned in the North Tower, very suspicious look on his face of what was going on, very, very tense look, and he just comes up dead. Chief Pfeiffer's story about it is fabricated. You can just tell that there's something wrong with what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person that died from that Firehouse 7 was the star of the Nade show. One of the stars, or I think it was one death, Tony, did they say died?
Oh, really? I hadn't heard about that.
Maybe he escaped. I don't know. But it may have been that what your point is, that Fire Station 7, which was the subject of the Nade film, whether mm-hmm. Tony died or not, I can't recall. But apparently none of the firemen there died as such, you see. So... it's something to think about.
Well, the guy they're filming in this so-called documentary that they were shooting, and I don't mean the 9/11 documentary, but they were investigating a gas leak, and they, of course, they found no leak. So this gave them the pretext to have the camera out on the street to pretend or to try to legitimize this phony filming of the first plane. It's obvious that there were signals occurring there on the road, on the street, with the man walking by and sort of making a hand signal, and then the camera points up there. So they had this pre-planned to stage it to make it look real. And I can tell you that was not the sound of a jet going overhead, especially
no
over
way.
Manhattan. Absolutely not. So Rick does have a point there. How much research one can do? I guess you'd have to go from firehouse to firehouse and get a list of everyone who is supposedly killed, and then contact all the families.
There is a fire chief that is purportedly that died. We know that Father Judge. We don't know, but I mean, he was apparently Father Judge was. I don't know what happened. He looks like he was killed. But I just. Do you have anything else, Rick, on this?
Well, I just wanted to say there's one thing else that's missing in this whole thing is all the profiteering after it happened. Like, where are all the books about my cousin was in South Tower? Or nobody's ever been on a radio show, Larry King. I mean, right after 9/11, every Tom, Dick, and Harry had a book on terrorism. But what you don't see in this scenario is that there's no profiteering involved here. There's nobody going on the speaking circuit. I've never heard of anybody, I never ran into anybody who ever knew anybody who died in the towers. I think the whole thing is a fabricated for theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another individual that was presenting that fear, that thing, because of his face being continuously posted to all the videos for 4 to 5 days, you know, all 4 to 5 days after September 11th. And he felt that there was a lot of problems with these numbers. There is a call from a woman who was calling on her cell phone to 911. It's not a phony. It's the real deal. She's talking about these unmerciful heat without any fire that they can't tolerate anymore. And there were 5 people on that whole floor. Now, it may be that the numbers have been revved up. We don't know. There were people who died. That's a definite.
numbers I can't say. But deaths, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, that William Rodriguez, who was credited with saving many lives, bringing people out of the bombed out lower levels of the Trade Center at the beginning of all of this, supposedly was to go to Chicago, in fact, and speak, and he was prohibited from getting on a plane and flying there. Now, that's the word that came out. I don't know if that's true. Or
when was was this recent?
This was probably 5 or 6 months ago, if not.
Yeah, he's becoming increasingly vocal and going up against the system more.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what's happening with him.
Yeah, but his story refutes that of Rudy Giuliani. It refutes the story of Larry Silverstein and many other public officials that came forth with, you know, an official message. Rodriguez.
Let me say this about the situation. Nobody was in any planes, as we all three have said here. It would be nice to know who died in the towers, to support them, to rally all those forces, and to prevent what happened with what we said we believe happened to Beverly Eckert.
Mm-hmm.
It would be wonderful. And one of the tools, Rick, is Rodriguez knows a lot of these people. He might be a source to tell us a little more of what he thinks about people who died.
I think he once said there was no evidence of very many casualties.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That would be good to pursue, because, you know, it's very possible that there was so much advance notice that the places were barren. But I will say that Barry Jennings, before he apparently was killed, because I don't see how it could be a coincidence, who was a major figure in the emergency management office under Silverstein, said that in Building 7, you see how they told us nobody died in Building 7? He said there were corpses on the ground as he was walking out. Now, I don't know how many, but that was hidden too, wasn't it? You know, Silverstein said nobody died in there.
Yeah.
But apparently, yeah.
Well, people died. You couldn't bring down three buildings, you know, secretly, unexpectedly on everybody without nobody dying. But,
you're absolutely right. We have never been given an official investigation. Even a list of people who died is unknown. Pretty bizarre.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Rick. Call in again, too. You know, I want to point something out. In fact, I got a quick note from one of our listeners, and he's referring to, or I should say they are referring to the Bob and Bree video. And it says, doesn't the Bob video show less fire equipment on arrival than for a bonfire in Bubbaville?
Yeah.
Sense of humor there, too. Well, you know, he's got a point there. You could hear a few sirens in that homemade or home video, we'll say.
Yeah.
It wasn't the official video that the rest of the country saw. And yet we had all of these firemen standing in the lobby and very few fire trucks around. There was one that was obliterated by...
Yeah.
Whatever occurred there, you know, the explosions and the pancaking of the building. But who's to say if that was actually the cause of it? Because it wasn't totally buried under the rubble. It was sitting there, smashed as if some high-powered energy force hit it.
Well, there was a lot of that in the vehicles, wasn't there? A lot of these vehicles were turned over. One emergency EMT woman reported that a door popped off of a car and slammed into her. It popped off. It popped off and ran at her, essentially. So there was obviously some kind of high energy, concussive act. I don't know what it is, but that caused those incineration of the tops of vehicles, and it wasn't just the dust from the pyroclastic flow.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing you do know is that somebody died on the ground too. You know, there were enough glass shards and chunks that came out that either people were near fatally injured or injured. Numbers? Mm-hmm. We don't know. Yeah,
I got another email here that says that Colonel Rick Riscorla was responsible for the evacuation of some 2,400 survivors. Now, he was filing complaints and lawsuits about the security inadequacies, and according to this message, says that the owners wanted him eradicated.
Evidently, is that right?
He had figured out the whole scheme.
Well, maybe he figured out that they closed the hatches so nobody could get on the roofs, which would be quite a conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
that they wouldn't rescue anybody that got up there, you see. And the people standing there and then, and, you know, for a half hour, an hour. So, and also the fact that the sprinklers were turned off in Building 7, that there was tampering with the fire alarm in Building 7, maybe he found out about some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes a liability. Well, we're all liabilities, and we're going to join each other as being liabilities because we do question everything. And I was so careful when I published Wrongly Blamed to try to figure out how to publish something that didn't have lies. And I pretty much did it, you know. But
yeah.
Now it's much easier for me. Now that Rick's bringing up something, I probably would have mentioned some numbers on the firemen, although I haven't quite gotten into the numbers because it's... But we should, you know, we should look into all of this stuff.
Now you know, you directed my attention to look at the first part of the No Day Brothers film again very recently, and I can't help but recall when he goes into the building. Okay, you know, we don't even know he shot that. In fact, you know, it's in fact the camera seems to be too steady for Jules No Day to actually even be shooting the film based on what I've seen of his photographic skills outside.
Yes, but, exactly.
Mm-hmm. He, you know, he goes into the lobby and there's this sort of circular pattern all along the inner perimeter of the building. And I'm speaking about along the inner wall where the elevator shafts are located. And these guys, according to the narration of the film, they know something's wrong when they go in there and they see all the lobby windows blown out. Now, they blame this on sort of like a backdraft type of explosion of jet fuel that moves its way down the elevator shaft. If that were the case and they got there, would you feel comfortable standing there in such a place?
They show a fireman pushing on the keypad of the elevator to try to get it to activate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no charring, there's no smoke, no fire, it's ridiculous. But one of the things there is, although the No Day brothers obfuscate that, and by the way, I must say I agree with you, they didn't take all that film. But you see at the corner, now when you look at the corner where the floor meets the window, you see radiating cracks.
Mm-hmm.
Going at a 45 and 30 degree angle, radiating like a fan from that corner. And you see it on the marble, too. You see radiation coming up, crack, crack, crack.
And that would be from explosions in the lower levels, more likely.
Exactly. And that's what decimated the lobby. And it was the other thing that is relatively important is that the individuals that got access started their project about 5 to 6 days after Silverstein signed the contract for the lease ownership for the 99-year, takeover from the Port Authority.
Mm-hmm.
So
they had weeks to prepare all their explosives.
Right, and it means that the No Day brothers are buddies of Silverstein at a lower level, but that implicates also Susan Zirinsky from CBS, who took the raw film and produced the documentary. Mm-hmm. But then that implicates CBS, huh?
And then, yeah, and then they say that they reduced 180 hours of film. Now, that's over a week's worth of film, mind you, okay? down to 2 hours, okay? That's still 10 hours over a full week.
It's a lot of film, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, I didn't see anybody carrying a case of film around, you know, to pop in there.
Well, you did see, however, the Nade brother, Jules, give the down sign with his hand, mission accomplished. Get out of here. Punch him in the nose and more.
Mm-hmm.
Premeditated mass murder. Numbers,
yeah.
I don't know. 1,000, 500, 2,000, whatever.
Yes. Well, now, we seem to have had a rash of, if I can change the subject, just for a brief moment, but we're going to stay on this issue of planes. Actually talk about planes for a change.
Yeah.
We've had a series of plane crashes. We had Paul Wellstone's crash. Was it in Minnesota? And then we had, and I forget the gentleman's name, but this was someone who was in, I think he was going to testify in a hearing before Congress. And this crash occurred, about a month ago, on the approach to Akron Airport.
On the approach, you see.
Yes. And then we had this very bizarre landing in the Hudson River, which didn't result in any deaths, but I'm surprised the fish didn't disintegrate.
Exactly.
There was no fire. The plane landed. Everybody said the pilot was a hero. It's, you know, what is a plane doing flying over the river like that?
Well, I think the important thing is there were some reports that, in addition to that, is that some bolts were something to do with the bolts on the engine. So
yeah, the bolts were found at the, or said to have been at the bottom of the river.
Yeah,
and they weren't going to look for them.
But what we have actually is we have Mossad, actually the Israeli embassy on file, Avin Ruzar saying, "Let's, if things don't go our way, let's take out an LL plane." Or we can attempt to do so, and then the guy says from APEC, "Well, what do we? Well, we'll leave. We'll go to the perimeter of the airport. We'll leave the missile gear there, and we'll implicate the Palestinians. Or we'll do a real terror act if necessary. If it just doesn't go our way, and we have in prison on September the 11th, 2001, 40, 50." Mossad Israelis, some of them setting up tripods well in advance of the first blast on the South Tower, or the North Tower, excuse me, and the tripods are up and the film is running.
Those are the No Day cousins, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to ask, where's this film coming from? Because you have the world jury that runs the networks, and they run them all. And then they have their little moles going around with this filming. And they take these bomb blasts, and they take it back to their little wicked labs, and they put the films of the... I mean, not films, but what do they do? How do they do that, Don? They layer in the plane, right?
Well, yeah, they're called composites. They can do things like take the background out of the film. Let's say you have a film of a plane. It's going to have some sort of a background. And they cause it to become transparent, and then they layer that over the other film. So, you know, when they show the two together, you get two pictures going into one, you know, as if, like they do with cameras, in live broadcast. They can superimpose pictures, or they can move them side by side, top one over the other, or one underneath the other, to use the opposite expression. And they can shift them back and forth. You have tremendous control over where that picture lies within the screen. And they use a simple video mixer or a video switcher to accomplish that. Now, when you're looking at composites, it's a device that can take more than one video signal at the same time. You can shoot three or four cameras at the same time, and you've seen this sometimes. You know, we even have picture-in-picture televisions that will show anywhere from 9 to 20-some channels at the same time on the screen.
Okay.
So, you know, that technology is there, but in this case, we're talking about superimposing on a picture, like they did with the Obama photographs.
Sure.
Okay? Same technique.
Same technique, and of course, that's what caused the mind control. That combined with Stanley Premuth, who, and one other individual, but pretty obscure, but Premuth did a lot of damage to anybody trying to uncover the truth, because he, you know, I walked over the plane, and then once he was interviewed, he told a different story every time, and it was so far-fetched that everybody knew it was a complete fraud. So between him, the strewn wreckage, and the PSYOP videos, most people were under mind control to some degree, perhaps all of us. Most everybody reasoned that Shanksville was a phony. There was no video PSYOP going into our brain. And in the Pentagon, there was no film to speak of. But the other thing caused people to hesitate. And when we start talking about the strewn wreckage, for those who are skeptics listening to this and think we're talking about holographs, which we didn't say anything about such things, but you can get your evidence in a different way. You can ask yourself, what is a 727 or a 737 engine doing on the curb?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it supposed to be a 767?
Yeah.
And where are the other three engines? And why does the engine have no charring or any kind of, you know, scuffing? And what is it doing sitting on the curb before the North Tower exploded? Yeah. So, and why is it just sitting on a curb? Why didn't it crush the curb? And why didn't it, and what's it doing sitting underneath an awning next to scaffolding? You see, though, I mean, it doesn't take much to say, oops, we thought people were too stupid to notice, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, even if it was a brand new engine and it was dropped from 85 stories, I doubt it would look like anything much larger than a pancake.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah.
And this thing is bent a little bit on the top, and you know, it's obviously damaged. They pulled it off of another plane, and they may have hit it several times with a sledgehammer just to make it look that way.
Yeah, that's possible. Now, because there's really no blackening of any kind. Now, the other interesting thing to demonstrate the power of this evidence mm-hmm. against the perpetrators, is the fact that there's no heat or heat waves or smoke coming off of it. But when that was observed, lo and behold, on the internet, a fabricated picture was created with the appearance of smoke. But in the original Nauday films, which were taken on site, there's absolutely no heat emanating from it. But that doesn't make any difference, because the stuff apparently was under that scaffolding before the World Trade Center blew up. So I would like to know how the engine could get there, you know, before the explosion. Unless a jet slammed into the basement, the sub-basement, which started blowing up at like 8:10, and then it ricocheted off the building.
Well, with the magic jets they had flying that day, I'm surprised one didn't come from the center of the hollow earth.
<You know? laughs> I mean, it would be more likely that the hollow earth destroyed this building than a jet. The other thing that's, I think, relatively revealing is the fact that the Zinn International Moving rapidly moved out of the building, leaving some of its materials there, leaving a $40,000 deposit behind, and that the, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 Israelis that normally would work in that building had all coordinated a mass exodus,
mm-hmm.
leaving the rest of the people to get roasted alive,
or they had a pre-planned sick day. You know?
Yeah, I mean like Larry Silverstein.
Yeah, exactly.
He normally dines on I think 80th floor of I don't remember which tower, or the North Tower. But yeah, he had a dermatologist's appointment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was itching in his on his skin. I think I do know, but and his children, of course, were secured. Giuliani was nowhere to be found. Yeah,
I had initially heard reports, and I don't know if anyone ever followed up on this, but I had heard reports that he had been in London earlier that day when all this began. You know, he showed up later on, you know, in the early, late afternoon, early evening, parading around the street, acting like a hero.
Yeah.
Because he's walking down the street.
Yeah, walking away from the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he dances and stuff, but he doesn't dress like a man when he does it. So he's got some challenging things going on. But
yeah, we've all seen those photos.
Yeah, we really don't have any bravery in New York, other than some of the civil servants, of course, and some of the common guys that try to help people out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's pretty clear that World Jewish Order plotted this for quite some time, years, and achieved at least a part of the goal, which was to move the Jewish authority into Iraq, take down the Baghdad Museum, confiscate the gold, take the cash out of the bank accounts, give a few straw bucks to the Americans, and then start building the Haifa pipeline. So that the creation of the greater Israel would go as planned. And that was the purpose of this. The PNAC document was not created by America's generals. It was created by the Zionists. They called for the creation of a terror act on the United States land to inflict a coup against the American people and against the Congress and Senate. What little coup they needed left. Most of those people finished by that time.
We don't have all the financials, but we do know that they had the put options on United Airlines and American Airlines.
And Goldman Sachs and Merrill Lynch.
Yeah.
All of that's been traced to Israel now. All of it. No exceptions. No Americans did any puts.
Yeah, but there were also some other shenanigans that went on with certain technology companies that we know about.
But they get the stock going, and then they earned money on the stock, didn't they?
Yeah, and this is where some of the people who supposedly died in these trade center crashes are major players in this. And
well, we have Alona Avraham, who was listed on, listed as being killed in a plane at the World Trade Center. She's a Mossad agent. She has $26 million at that time tucked away in a Nigerian bank account. That's one example of how these people are payrolled to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Then we have billions that were earned by certain people. In conjunction with Akamai Technologies, which was founded at MIT, which is one of the contractors for the Pentagon.
So they had created a Homeland Security profiteering center to profit on the they're profiting on the terror that they created.
Mm-hmm.
So that the machinery in the airports, they sell that through, now that they have the Patriot Act, they sell through the contracting for marshals on airplanes, they sell through some devices to improve airline security, they sell through the the contracts to have airport security, such as the security in the Newark International Airport, which is where Beverly Eckert and the people's plane was launched from. Let's not forget that that's all completely controlled by Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the so they're profiting on the war of terror that they create, not just through selling weapons, but the whole terror industry. Huge, massive, multi-trillion dollar industry.
Well, sure. And then they're creating all these agencies that are supposedly protecting us, when in reality it's just another impingement upon our rights under the guise of, you know, preventing terrorism. In other words, how much toothpaste I have on the plane makes the flight dangerous. You know?
And yes. Now,
or hand lotion, or,
and the water bomb is a fraud that Reuven Azar also revealed in his recorded conversation with APEC, that I think probably it was the CIA that released this. They got sick of it, you know. Somebody there got sick of it. And where he said, well, just think of the water bomb. And the guy said, you mean all that stupid thing, that fluid thing? He said, well, and Reuven Azar said, well, it worked, didn't it? You know, I mean, all of this goes back to the wickedness, and that was a complete fabrication. The reason for the water bomb was to distract attention from the Zionist waxing that they got from Hezbollah. When they beat their socks off, ragtag Hezbollah, they invented the water bomb thing.
Well, then they had the shoe bomb, too, which
Richard Reed, who'd been to Israel twice.
Uh-huh, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
that was one of the.
Know.
I mean, the guy's probably just a, you know, just they make these al-Masadeida cells, and then they get somebody dumb or something. I don't want to say, but they dupe people.
Yeah, I mean, do we actually know that were these like Mr. Rogers basketball shoes or something?
No, we don't know. What we do know is that a Mossad air marshal type individual, a spy, was on the plane. They duped Richard Reed into something. We don't know what. And then they set the poor son of a gun up, and it's even talked about by Reuven Azar when he was talking with APEC, that it was their deal. And it's not uncommon for them to go into a mosque or someplace and start saying, come on, brothers, we have to go get them, you know. They are hurting our people. And then they try to get people revved up, and they might get somebody to say, well, we should smack those dirty rats in the nose. Look at what they did to the people. They're selling weapons. And who can blame anybody, right? It'd be like if we were selling weapons to the a Mexican Contra group, and they were killing Mexican villagers. You know, if a villager there in a church said, we should strike back, who would blame them? But what happens is that's even more rare. Usually what they do is they just do the terror act, and then they release names to the media. And then they control the judiciary, and the guy stands no chance, even if he didn't say any such a thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then and in certain cases, they bring their patsies, their false witnesses, forward. You know, the stooges that they have prepared to say certain things that really don't have anything to do with matters of fact. They just talk, and that.
Yeah, well, that's what they did with the first World Trade Center bombing.
Mm-hmm.
With that's an albatross, the World Trade Centers. The Rockefeller hated them. And so what they did was that a dark-skinned Egyptian Jew by the name of Imad Salem. Salem is from Salemne, which is Hebrew. It's not Arabic. Imad is very rarely used in Arabic Muslim names. It is a Jewish name in most instances in that area. Okay, now, they put him in that mosque because the Egyptian Jew, Hosni Musarraf or whatever he is, he wanted rid of that fella, you know, the imam there, okay?
Uh-huh.
So that was one goal, and at the same time, they would go ahead and create a bomb. Imad Salem talked to the people there saying, you know, whatever he said, and they produced this bomb, detonated it. The only dark-skinned person or Middle Eastern person that was in a hospital was one Imad Salem with broken eardrums.
Hmm.
Now, here's how they trapped the Muslims. They took immigrant Palestinians who were activists in the sense that they were sending money to their families and were, you know, going around saying, you know, whatever about Israel. They took a couple of these individuals, hired them, Mossad agents hired them to do odd jobs with moving vans. See how it works?
Mm-hmm.
They then stole the moving van from the guy after they had him rented, because the guy needed cash. He was actually in the country at that point illegally. His visa had elapsed or whatever it was, so they say, but whatever. He needed cash.
Mm-hmm.
They stole the moving van, the Mossad did, put the bomb in it, because they're the only ones that could get into the sub-basement. They had the fake IDs, detonated it, and then showed the FBI, hey, look, here's the rental vehicle, here's the plate number. And then the FBI was in on it, though, because the FBI, Muhammad Salameh went to pick up his deposit, he said, you guys owe me $400. I brought the van. I understand my boss brought the van back. And then the FBI was just sitting there behind the clerk's desk, and they arrested him. So, you know, they were working with the Mossad to make it out like Islam is the enemy. And now who benefits from that? Raytheon, right? General Dynamics.
Yeah. Yeah, and Bill Clinton was president at that time. In fact, we had two such bombings occur.
Well, Rockefeller will use his illicit son to try to knock that thing down.
Yeah. Now, in reference to that, in reference to the big payoff that Larry Silverstein got, the port authorities of New York and New Jersey both made the determination that Larry Silverstein was the rightful owner of the World Trade Center, and the payment was made on that basis. Now, how can you say someone owns a building and they lease it from themselves?
Rockefeller is America's Saddam Hussein. He rules by brute force. He doesn't care. Silverstein is his front man. He owns the buildings, Rockefeller, with some probably European associates. He merely does whatever he wants. If he wanted to concoct it that way to make sure Silverstein was the front and he could stay behind the scenes with the CFR,
mm-hmm.
he just did it. You know, the rule of New York is the rule of the mob, the Jewish mob.
So you have an insurance fraud. I mean, you know, it wasn't just murder. It was insurance.
Probably own the insurance company.
Yeah.
You know, this is... it's an endless, you know, incestuous, vile... And then they take the money from the taxpayer who's already been taxed to death by the Israeli Revenue Service. And whatever little money the future has, Rockefeller takes it and has Citicorp buy a $50 million jet.
Yeah.
They stole the gold through their agent, Roosevelt. They took everybody's silver coins. They all went and gave it to them. They trusted it.
Yeah, it was recently reported, by the way, this $14 trillion that I've been talking about on so many shows for the past 2 years or more has actually found its way to Dubai within the past week or so.
You mean Little Britain in America?
Well,
that's the most vile place on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Little Israel.
So now they really need a bailout, you see, because that money's been stolen. So
it's just
endless.
And you think that these people know what they're doing? They don't know a hard day's work in their whole life. And so when that kind of money flows, it's nothing but a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can steal gold. Anybody can. And then you go might force the gold price up and sell it. Yes, of course. And yes, you're sitting on trillions.
And you have people saying, you know, I would just like to see a balanced budget. They have no idea what they're even saying, how ridiculous that sounds.
That person can't be human. That must be one of those reptiles or something. I mean, you got to have a brain, people.
Yeah.
You know, money is made by hard work in an organized fashion and by a highly centralized, authoritative rule that administers that wealth back to the people's benefit. That has never existed in this country. Maybe for a few years it was some good, but not for long.
No, in its purest sense, abundance it has a circular flow to it. You know, the money comes to you and you put it back out there and it keeps circulating like that. That's why they call it circulation.
Here. That's right, and that's exactly true. In this case, it's hoarding. The world jewelry, it's everything for that entity, nothing for anybody else. You can see it right in front of your face. They imposed the Israeli Revenue Service on the people, and since they own the prison systems, with threat of imprisonation, with threat of cheating and all these types of terminology, they sweep people up to create fear. I mean, and sure, I mean, no common person wants to be labeled as a federal victim, and who knows if the person's a dissident, how they could ever get out.
Yeah, well, we have in recent days now this report that the CEOs of these corporations are going to be limited to $500,000 a year annual salary. Well, they've always kept their salary low. It's the perks that they make their money. Just like the Congress and the Senate, you know, they're making maybe $187,000 a year, which is outrageous for what they do.
Yeah,
and then they get $2 million worth of unseen perks.
Yeah,
most people aren't even aware of this. So
many of them have got are worth $500 million or $500 million, $200 million through special favors that they've done.
Yeah. Well, the way you get around that is you run the company and you give yourself the title janitor, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Just don't call yourself a CEO.
Yeah, exactly. You set up Washington, D.C., which is not a government, you know.
No. It's a corporate entity in and of itself, and they operate it as a very corrupt one, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
in the regular business world, they wouldn't stand 5 minutes.
No.
You know?
No, not at all. But Rockefeller decided to take those buildings down. There's one guy on the internet that says that anybody that says it's Rockefeller is a disinfo agent. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the fact that Rockefeller owns those buildings. We're talking about the fact that you have to own, the owner's the one that had to plant the charges, you know, and you have to wire those charges, you have to drill those charges. Only one who can do it is the owner, period.
Yeah, and you have to set them off, too.
Yeah, of course you do.
You know,
of course, that's right.
Somebody pushed the button.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know that two Mossad agents were caught with radio detonators in their hands. And they were imprisoned.
Yeah, were those used for the buildings, or was that for the ordnance that they found scattered about the city?
Well, this is very important. We don't know. I would suspect, to be honest with you, if it wasn't for the... I would assume some accidentally alert police, and some alert police,
mm-hmm.
that thought these guys were Arabs, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them had Arabic Shika outfits on to create, hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And they snapped some of these guys up. And I think you're right. We would have had the George Washington Bridge would have been gone.
The Holland Tunnel, I heard, had explosives near it or
yes,
in
the
it?
Holland Tunnel would have been gone. Yeah, that would have been gone. Anything Netanyahu had plotted to create World War III, whatever it would take. And then once they completely eliminated the Islamic people, which are the only resistance that the Christians have, they should be kissing the feet of these, you know, the really, truly believing Islamics that are willing to fight against their odds are very poor, very little weapons, because that's the only thing standing in the way from complete conquest. So they were, the plan was to rev up America and Canada and Mexico and Europe
to such a degree that
all of those armies would be used as proxy militia to knock out Hamas and to kill Hezbollah and then go into Pakistan and then to go into Iran. That's what the plan was, you know.
Well, what they did is they went into Afghanistan. In fact, there were explosions in Afghanistan the night of 9/11.
You were the first to remind us of that.
Yeah. And then what was Afghanistan about? It was about taking over the poppy fields and putting a pipeline from Uzbekistan down through Afghanistan.
Right. And primarily to prevent Iran from having a greater sphere of influence in central Caspian mm-hmm. Sea, which is its area. Lesser Russia, because, you know, there's two sides to the big fat bear. You know, an east and a west, and they work together.
Well, we have Russian intelligence agents working in the computer departments of the NSA.
They're
right
saying,
here.
Russia and America is like kind of like buddies.
Yeah. So, and then when they went into Iraq, it was nothing but a big gold heist, and then the theft of their oil assets.
Yes. Well, so, that's a continuous theft on the oil. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so, who were the terrorists then?
Terrorists are our infrastructure. The American people have come up and resisted some of this tyranny, but the system we have is causing the murder. Our system did Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, but not really us. Think back to PNAC.
Mm-hmm.
Think then PNAC is tied to CFR, and CFR is Rockefeller. It is the murderous is world Jewry.
Yeah.
With their strip of corruption, Israeli entity, that is responsible for Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. They're responsible for the 1.4 million dead in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're responsible. To quote one of your listeners, they whacked the World Trade Center.
Yeah. And that PNAC document, and for those out there that aren't sure what PNAC stands for, Project for a New American Century, that document was called Rebuilding America's Defenses. And what did they do? They began it with another false flag event, another Pearl Harbor type event, which the document itself urged, and they murdered Lord knows how many people in New York and Washington, and then turned around and murdered millions in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah, in Palestine, and then they bombed Somalia with C-130 gunships, killing herdsmen. And this is all, if it wasn't for the Zionists, with their thirst for more blood for their world conquest, then America would not have engaged in this overseas adventure. Wouldn't happen. So a lot of times people want to blame Bush and Cheney as opportunistic as they are, they did not create the actual system that, you know, that pushed for global conflict. Remember George Tenet Cohn?
Mm-hmm.
He's another Israeli. He was the one who kept pushing on Bush. You've got to go into Iraq next. I mean, don't exonerate Bush. Yes, I know that. But one of the things the American people have done is they've you know, talked about going after Bush and going after Cheney. You're going after, like, the pinky. You know, nothing compared to these other people.
Well, it would seem to me, just on the basis of them doing exactly what that document asked or suggested, that document could be taken as a murder contract or solicitation.
Amen. Well said.
Solicitation to commit murder.
Solicitation to commit murder and actual conspiracy to commit murder. And that's exactly what has to be done. But in order to do that, you have to get the Bush-Cheney thing out of the way, get that, just move it out and go straight to the source. And that's David Rockefeller.
So you've got William Kristol on there. I forget some of the names, but they're...
Well, you have Abrams, you have Shulsky, you have Faith.
Jeb Bush, I think, was on there, wasn't he?
Jeb Bush is involved, and so is Marvin Bush in the panel there. But as far as the heavy hitters, these would be, you know, Zakheim, Wolfowitz, Abram Shulsky, Poderhoretz, very heavy involved. Kristol, of course, was a key agent there. Irving and William both. And of course, these guys are mere subsidiaries of the various layers that lead to the trillionaire. See, we do have a monarch. You know, His Excellency is not Obama. His Excellency is David Rockefeller.
Yeah, that's Rocky Six, or
yeah,
should we call him Rocky 666?
Well, yeah, and sure, it's he's responsible for the murder of those people, and of course the plot against the Pentagon. Now, Netanyahu, he is an agent of that regime, and he was heavily involved in planning the attacks, as was Silverstein. You can't have those attacks without premeditation by Silverstein and Netanyahu and Perez, and also Olmert, and you have Nelson, or you have Nicholas Rockefeller, saying that we're gonna basically knock down a couple of really important facilities to create a phony war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nicholas Rockefeller is a mere cousin to David Rockefeller.
Yeah.
And so you have the connectors.
And then you have Mr. Westfield Properties there, too.
Frank Lowy?
Yeah.
Well, he's a demolitions expert. He was involved, heavily involved.
Some time around last fall, he was in a big brouhaha right there in Israel in regard to some bank fraud with Olmert. Their
yes.
Two names were brought together. And again,
well, those two guys were involved with 911. I mean, you're dealing with murderers. You're dealing with high crimes against humanity. You're dealing with conspiracy. And this country hasn't even been able to mount a successful frontal assault against these internal agents, foreigners, spies, traitors, and like you said, more infiltrators than anything. But you have a traitor in David Rockefeller.
And
he's powerful and all that. But.
Yeah, I talk to people in the military, and they say that, they're afraid, or they know people, the higher-ups, are afraid of losing their pensions. That's the reason that they don't do anything. They know what's going on, but they don't want to lose their pensions. They're going to retire in a few years.
I think they're afraid they're going to get assassinated. I think this
sure.
is probably a ruse, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so what's the difference? If look at this endless struggle that we've got. You know, if somebody decides to kill a person, at least they don't have this constant burden of seeing the innocents killed and maimed and traumatized, and what can we do about it? And seeing people losing their homes, and people I work with, every day somebody else says, I'm about ready to lose my home. I mean, you know, what can... These guys are sitting on trillions. They stole the gold, they stole the silver, they stole the copper, they stole the diamonds, they stole the gems, and they pump it all to that miserable Israeli entity. That piece of land should be just cleaned off the face of the earth. Just get rid of that whole, you know, regime. If the people want to go somewhere, they can go to Europe or somewhere else where, you know, if they were chased away from Europe, if that's the story, then go back to Europe, but don't think you're going to be able to stay there forever. You know, eventually somebody's going to get tired of this.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah, you can make money out of thin air or go someplace and make it.
You don't go to the Holy Land and set up prostitution rings, alcoholism, heroin. You kill the little people and steal. You tell us that these Palestinians are somehow bad. Then if they're so bad, why do you want their organs? Why are you taking, and you admitted in the Knesset that you steal their organs? If they're bad, if they're dirty, if they're low, like you say, second and fifth class, what do you want with their organs then, huh? You're splicing them into your own people?
Or they're selling them somewhere else, you know.
Well, to China, whatever, to the highest bidder. Yeah, it's just, you don't go to the Holy Land and forever get away with that, crimes and vileness. There's a higher force. It's not me, you know. There's a force.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, when you just look at what we've been talking about here, I mean, what's the necessity of all this? What does it prove? What does it accomplish ultimately?
Nothing.
In the grand scheme of life in the universe.
Nothing but wickedness. Nothing but trauma. Nothing but pain. Nothing but hurt.
You know, it's like a bad dream, only it's their bad dream, you know, and they're constantly trying to impose it upon us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. It's in... Somehow, some way, America has been used to establish this. And anybody in the United States that supports the Israeli entity is a traitor. And this is particularly true of those church mongers or whatever they call those that, you know, run the AIPAC and any of these individuals. They're the arch traitors of America. Because our churches should be the first place to stand in protest against these crimes against humanity, not just in the Palestinians and Gaza, but against the crimes that are committed against the Americans, such as those killed in 9/11, such as those Muslims who were murdered and Sikhs and Arabs because of the indignation that occurred. So 20 to 30 of them were killed in this country. Then we had all of those individuals that were beaten up because they looked like they were Arabic or whatever. All of that is what the churches should be vocally, protesting. And then the churches should be our first place to protest invasions into Iraq. Instead, they promote it, many of them. Oh, no, the Armageddon, we got to create. If there's not going to be an Armageddon, we need to create one by attacking those Muslims, you know. I mean, and all they're doing is following the Zionist plot all the way while the Jews are singing, you know, Dixie to the bank. You know, making fun of the Christians, calling them names, saying that they're cannon fodder, and like they did from the Civil War forward, you know, it's just, anybody that knows history knows.
Yeah. It's obvious that their game is being exposed for what it is, and they're getting pretty desperate about it because they never counted on people waking up and taking a stand. And speaking out is just one aspect of it. You know, there are those that have already committed themselves to taking some sort of action. And I'm not promoting that, but, you know, people are going to do... They're free to make the choices that they want, especially under these circumstances.
That's what America is. And then you have this circumstance where they plotted the 911 attacks against us from the Israeli entity, not from Afghanistan and not from Saudi Arabia, but strictly the Zionists sent their Mossad moles, as you know, the documents from Britain showing that they first started arriving en masse in April, which you have documented as well, and then they started seeding out to the synagogues and the other institutions, systematically warning the higher levels and also the various Israelis to stay out of that World Trade Center, systematically beginning the process of stealing the bombs and making these RDX and C4 and different devices. I don't know all the devices that they used. Then going in disguised as repairmen and such and doing the power downs, planting the explosives, all of it documented, of course, for those who are not aware. And then they blew us up. I wonder what would happen if 50 Saudis, well, I don't know, I think that Saudis, even still, our government would have found a way to, because Saudi Arabia is really Saudi America, by the way, but let's say 50 Palestinians, okay, would have been found with radio detonators, gunpowder residues on their hands, RDX explosive in the back of their vans, explosive ordnance that they were planting under the George Washington Bridge. And if those people would have really been Muslims, I can tell you what would have happened if they would have been Muslims. Every Arab and Muslim in this country would have been interned in those prison camps.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt about it. And then there would have been warfare against everything and anything. Every weapon that this country has would have been targeted against the Muslim world. They probably would have taken out Mecca. I mean, that's exactly what the Zionists were hoping to do, but they got cut short. They were unable to blow the George Washington Bridge. Those other explosive ordnance were found in New York. They were unsuccessful in their attempt to blow up the Alaska pipeline. You know, all of this, a lot of this stuff is in wrongly blamed people. You don't even read. They attempted to take out the nuclear plants. They attempted to take out the Erwin, Tennessee nuclear facility for submarines, the Whidbey Bay. And this was all going on, not just 2001, 2002, 3, 4, 5. And it was alert cops and sheriffs in the states that picked
up on it. You know, a lot of people wonder, how can that be? How can that be going on? You know, these people have the contracts for security in these facilities.
Yeah.
So they can easily allow anybody on the premises that they choose.
Sure.
And this goes on. That's obvious it went on at the World Trade Center. And something occurred at the Pentagon. Who actually set that up? But I've had a guest on my show several months ago who was there and described the explosions occurring inside the building. No airplane, just explosions inside the building.
Wow, that was quite a revelation, because we were mind-controlled to think, okay, then it must have been a missile.
Well, here we just in Buffalo had another plane crash, okay, and it took out a house, and even some of the houses left, and the plane did not evaporate into nothing. Okay, it burned from jet fuel, just like the one did in the World Trade Center. Okay, same thing. The plane that crashed in Akron, not too long ago. The one that landed in the river. I mean, the only thing, since it didn't blow up, the only other thing that could happen is a whale would come and eat it. Okay.
Yeah.
Or a few bottom dwellers.
Exactly. No official explanation. Instead, the media tells us what to think.
Oh yeah.
Whether the Hudson River thing, and particularly the latest with Miss the dearest little lady there, Eckert, Mrs. Eckert.
Beverly Eckert. Yes.
Yeah. That the media tells us it's ice. And I still haven't had a pilot call us back on your observation, which is that the pilots saw ice on the wings. Now, I know I have to sit next to the wing to see the wing. Now, do they have special mirrors or something where they can see all of those wings pretty well, or they must, huh?
Well, I don't think they can see it. I mean, they have equipment that senses that, and they have a system to break it up. You know,
their cockpit's pretty small in that jet. So unless they have some kind of special mirror, which, you know, we have on our trucks, but I didn't see any mirrors on that plane.
I mean, they can send a co-pilot or someone in the, from the cabin, you know, into the plane to take a look. But if you have to do that, I mean, you're going backwards 50 years in technology.
The bottom line is we have no evidence that they said that. All we have is that the newspaper said they said it.
Well, the media was on TV, on CNN, the following night talking about that, and they I don't think they had even examined the black boxes yet. So they were already putting this story out there on CNN.
Yep they were.
They had a special guest, and I'm not saying that it was ice that brought it down, but all they did was talk about ice.
Yeah.
And then he tried to cover his tracks by saying that. You know, I wonder
how much he got paid to open his ugly mouth.
Yeah. I had a listener.
I would think it's time to just quit watching these, to just absolutely throw the television away. If you need to analyze anything, just wait till somebody puts it up on the boob, on the YouTube or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. See, I monitored it to see what they were saying, because when I had looked at a video that you sent me a link to, the video and the audio didn't match. It was from two different programs, you know, and the film was altered. I can tell you
have to be. Why didn't they say that the engine was on fire? I want to know if anybody heard on CNN that the engine was burning and that flames had engulfed part of the fuselage and one of the wings. Well, did anybody get told that? That's what happened.
Yeah, somebody.
I never told you this, but before your email was sent, I was always suspicious of a missile that went into that engine, even before they talked about the flames.
Yeah.
But when this, you know, God.
Well, as I said to you when I first heard about it, I asked the question, what important person was on that plane?
Yeah, I know.
You know, because it's they're dropping like flies.
I can tell you that Beverly Eckert was the most effective individual seeking justice against the regime. And her justice didn't stop at Bush and Cheney. It went to Obama, Zbigniew Brzezinski, because Brzezinski is co-founder of the CFR, so it went to Brzezinski. That's why she was more of a threat to Brzezinski than she is to Bush and Cheney.
And do you think Rahm Emanuel might have had something
to do
with that?
Oh, I do. I do think that such an individual would know all about this. Yeah. Not when it crashed, but before it crashed.
Well, sure. That was his, maybe an area of his father's expertise, was it not?
Yes, yes, yes. Because this was a vile act committed on the basis that it was still winter. One could, contract weather as a cause. One could use the ice story, and most people would let it go.
And it had to occur at night, so nobody could really see what was going on.
Yeah, pretty much. And then the ice being collecting and not knowing what to do. But definitely. So you couldn't actually see the whole plane. I mean, how many people can really tell what's going on in the plane in the pitch black?
Mm-hmm.
That's up in the sky, but. How many times do we hear a plane and we turn our head and look? And if a missile would have struck at that time, like you say, or some device, we would have had dozens of people seeing it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
All they do is hear something at night. You know.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, Dr. K, but you're on tomorrow night, and I'd like to pick this conversation up right where we left off here and continue discussing this issue
We can get some pilots calling and give us some help so that we can more thoroughly analyze that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure would be nice. I'm not an expert on those things, but just from what little bit I know, I can see that what we're being told and what we do know doesn't match.
I love your statement that quit insulting our intelligence, the thing drops straight out of the sky. There has to be a reason.
Yeah, they even altered their own story on the news yesterday and said that. I caught that on Fox Radio, believe it or not. And I say, you know, insult my discernment and insult my logic, but don't insult my intelligence.
I love it. That's our new motto. Huh.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you
tomorrow
again.
God willing.
I want to encourage people to visit your website, knowledgehousepublishers.com, to look at your books. Also, Wrongly Blamed and a couple of other creations of yours are on my website, directlightproductions.com. Just click on books.
Look at that. Yeah. Everybody should read that Quran and take a yellow underliner. It's meant for a yellow underliner and a pencil. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I recommend that. Also, the secret scripture. You have done Christians a great justice by putting that book out.
Oh, yeah.
And Christianity.
And going up against all of those who want that off the market. Yeah, so go for it.
Yes. So all those books are posted on my site. And,
that's great. Let them go to you.
So I look forward to tomorrow evening, and we'll pick up this discussion and see where it takes us. In the meantime, you have a good evening. And folks who have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Dr. Qasem Khalil. Dr. K will be with us again tomorrow night, so be sure to tune in. In the meantime, I would like to express from the bottom of my heart my gratitude, and this comes from my family as well, for all your prayers concerning my father and his getting well. They're calling him the miracle man, and it's definitely God moving through all the wonderful prayers and supplications of the listening audience and your friends and people that you have contacted. Keep the prayers up. He's not out of the woods yet, and it's going to be a while till he recovers. But I thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light. See you tomorrow, and have a good night.